Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Go out to the waitfor.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and bring in Jacob Brandenburg, CBS Down in Texas, my go-to college football interview on my normal show, Ready or Mod. First off, Jacob, good evening. How are you?
Hey, Thomas. Good evening. How I'm doing pretty well. Like you said, crazy things going on really across the sports world today. A lot of headlines.
So I know that this Big 12 cease and desist to ESPN just dropped, and so we're all trying to figure out some news on what's going on with this right now. And from what I can gather is that it seems like the Big 12 is trying to find a way to make sure that Oklahoma and Texas don't leave until their actual contract is up in 2025. We know that that's what it officially says in their, you know, bid for the SEC letter that they wrote yesterday, and they're going to vote on tomorrow. But of course, they want to try to get there sooner. That is, of course, the UT and Oklahoma. How do you take this? Do you think the Big 12 has a case here if ESPN was trying to tamper by getting, you know, another team from the Big 12, not Oklahoma and Texas, to go to the AAC, the conference that I'm seeing right now? Is this about to blow up?
I mean, it's wild accusations, Thomas. It's really crazy coming from Bob Boolsby, the commissioner of the Big 12. Just yesterday, he released a statement after we found out that Texas and Oklahoma had officially asked to join the SEC. Boolsby immediately then responded and saying, well, this only proves that this has been going on for months, that they've been conspiring, you know, behind our backs to try and get into the SEC. And yeah, now he throws out that ESPN has also been part of this, we'll call it a conspiracy, I guess, to try and move Oklahoma and Texas over there to the SEC. And then, of course, with the SEC network and the Longhorn network being ESPN properties, it would be bigger money makers for them. So, I mean, the motive would be there if we're looking at it like that. But it's hard to believe, and he's throwing this out here. And I'm almost wondering, Thomas, is this something where he's playing catch-up? Because it kind of feels that way, and now he's almost trying to save his butt and save the Big 12 when it may be too late, because I don't know how this could be going on for months like he says it has and how I think we all assume it has been, and the other schools in the Big 12 don't know what's going on, or the commissioner of the league doesn't know stuff like this is going on, or if you didn't know what's going on, why, you know, wasn't anything done about it?
Crazy stuff right now. ESPN has publicly responded saying, quote, the claims in the letter have no merit, end quote. Of course they would say that. It's also going to be interesting if ESPN itself, like if I turn on SportsCenter tomorrow, do they cover this? Probably not. And it's going to be a major story that ESPN is unable to cover due to the legality of it. Let's move off of the legal stuff because you and I are both not lawyers. Let's get back to OU and UT both trying to go ahead and go to the SEC. We know it will happen, right? The question is it 2025? Is it 2022? Let's say it goes UT and Oklahoma's way. It's 2022. They're there next year. Are they going to waltz in there and start winning right away? Like, that's the real question I have. The most confusing thing to me, and I understand money. I understand wanting to be in a bigger conference. I get that. But we just expanded the playoff to 12 teams. I mean, if there ever was a chance for multiple Big 12 schools to get into the playoff every single year, it would be starting next year with the 12-team expansion. Do Oklahoma and Texas have legit shots now to compete in the SEC, or will this be a repeat of what Texas A&M did their first couple of years where they got rolled seemingly against Bama and LSU every single year?
Well, yeah, I mean, Oklahoma could just stay in the Big 12 and make the playoff every year like they kind of have been, where they're either in the playoff or sitting right outside of it as Big 12 champion. And Texas, you're assuming, is going to be quote-unquote back at some point and would be competing for one of those 12 spots as well. Because even if they were second in the Big 12, being Texas, we know that they would get ranked highly and get in there. But I think the thing is the money, Thomas, is just such a great difference to be in the SEC, especially with whatever these new media rights deals might look like with ESPN, who, again, maybe they're involved in this. And that I don't think it matters whether or not they compete. I think Oklahoma is certainly more capable of competing right away. I mean, we've seen them, you know, they might lose those playoff games like they got blown out against LSU or where they've gotten blown out by Alabama. But we've also seen them beat Florida and Auburn in bowl games here at the end of the season. So I think they'll be more ready made to compete. But what's that look like? Three losses, two losses, you know, you get upset by Ole Miss or Mississippi State or those things that we know happen. Texas, I mean, we still haven't seen it to believe it. I mean, they're going to go 7-5 in the Big 12 most of these years. It's going to be the same or worse when you go step into the SEC and play against those teams. So we'll see how they compete. Obviously, you know, it's going to be a big change for them to stop beating up on Kansas and Kansas State every week. But I think the money is what's more important to them than competing. And I'm sure they hope that by being in the SEC, they'll gain some kind of competitive advantage as well with recruiting or, you know, the new name, image, likeness things, even when you see quarterbacks at Alabama making seven figures, according to Nick Saban.
Talking to Jacob Brandenburg, CBS reporter down in Texas right now on the waitfor.com hotline. If you were a Big 12 school that wasn't UT or Oklahoma, you were the president or on the board at Kansas or K-State or our alma mater, Baylor, what would you do right now? Let's say and assume that OU and Texas are gone next year. Would you go to the Pac-12? Would you try and stay and kind of hold on to the Big 12? What would you advise a non-Oklahoma or non-Texas Big 12 school to do right now?
I think they all need to be assuming that the Big 12 is done for, that Oklahoma and Texas are gone, and there's no way for that league to be, you know, to survive without those two flagship programs being part of it. So they should be on the phones making calls to the Pac-12, to the ACC, the Big Ten, whoever it is that you're trying to join. I think what we've learned during this whole process is that schools have to be the ones to reach out to the leagues. The leagues aren't allowed to go and poach other conferences' schools. So, yeah, these schools should already be on the phone with these other conferences trying to, you know, set up deals and things, because I think the Big 12 is dead as far as we're concerned. So I don't think it's going to, you know, survive when you've got eight teams and you're led by Baylor and Oklahoma State and programs like that.
Does a super conference ruin college football? Like, the more I think about this, the more I don't like it. I think college football as it is and as it has been is a flawed system, obviously, because there is such a disparity in Alabama versus Northwestern or Alabama versus Baylor. Like, you just can't have a fairness level of play. And the BCS system obviously had many flaws. The college football playoff was too small. When they expanded it to 12, I really felt good. I said, okay, if you are a top 10 team, and yet you are a small school, like a Utah who's hovered around the top 10, like a Baylor who's been inside the top 10 the past couple of years, you now at least have a chance, whereas in the past, you're the seventh best team in the nation, you have no shot. I felt like we were going in a great direction with as good of a solution to the college football problem as we possibly could have. To me, a super conference blows this all up, because what do you do if you are a small school and you're outside the super conference? It feels like you are. What does Boise State do? Again, what does Utah do? What does Iowa State do? These are all schools that if they magically one year had a great run, they could have a chance at a New Year's Six or a chance to maybe make a 12-team playoff, who now will have no chance. I know what I'm asking here. Does a super conference ruin college football, in your opinion?
No. I mean, I don't think it ruins it, Thomas. I mean, we hold on to these things that, I mean, I love as well. We love the traditional rivalries, and we love the teams that play in conferences that actually make sense geographically. You don't have Maryland or Rutgers in the Big Ten, and you don't have West Virginia in the Big 12 playing against teams from Texas and Oklahoma. You know, we have kind of already seen those things start to fall away, and we, you know, it's going to be good for college football, because who doesn't want to see Oklahoma versus Alabama, and then the next week Oklahoma versus LSU or Florida, or these big matchups will get rewarded with, or say, you know, Notre Dame actually joins a conference finally and becomes part of a super conference. They'll be playing some kind of marquee matchup, you know, every week with their national brand. So it's good to get those national brands playing against each other. I mean, yeah, now we'll see maybe 3, 4, 5, maybe more SEC teams get into that 12-team playoff field. But the small schools that, you know, you go win your conference, you're probably going to make that playoff. So if you are Iowa State left alone in the 18 Big 12, go win all those games, and then you can go prove it in the playoff. If you're Boise State or BYU or some of these smaller teams, UCF, go win your conference, and you'll still make that 12-team field. I feel pretty confident in saying that. So it's not going to totally ruin the small schools. And, I mean, I don't know, name, image, likeness, and these changes, it's going to still be Bama, Ohio State, and Clemson until somebody else, you know, rises up to knock them off. Nothing's going to change there. Those teams dominate college football. It's going to stay that way.
Yeah, you mentioned NIL. I really do wonder how you are supposed to compete recruiting-wise when you can have Nick Saban with a billion championship rings walk into a room talking to an 18-year-old and say, hey, man, listen, you're going to come into my program, you're going to be great, and you're going to make $1 million this year. I don't know how you're going to compete with that, because if you're a rival school and it's a lesser school, it's like, okay, well, you might make $200K, but what's $200K versus playing at Alabama making $1 million? It's crazy. I want people to get paid. I'm for it. I just really wonder what we're going to be seeing and what we're going to look at college football-wise in 3, 4, 5 years, because I like what it is right now, and I love the expansion of 12 teams, and yet here we go. Okay, let me go ahead and get to one quick NFL question, because I know we do a lot of college football with you, but you really keep your eye on the Green Bay Packers as well, and they had a whirlwind of a day. I think Aaron Rodgers had a great media day. I think the Packer organization had my day from hell. It was terrible watching A-Rod sit up there and meticulously and beautifully ripped to shreds the Green Bay Packer organization. What'd you make of Aaron Rodgers' comments today where he just obliterated everyone in the front office in Green Bay?
I mean, it was great to hear an NFL quarterback be so honest and transparent. I think it was great for us to finally learn kind of what's been bothering Aaron. For so many years now, we've heard about how he's, you know, kind of at odds with management, or, you know, doesn't like what the coach might be doing. And I think today he very clearly explained, you know, exactly where he was coming from. And I don't think anyone that heard him speak, in, if you haven't yet, I encourage you to go out and, you know, either read it or watch it, because it makes a lot of sense. I think you side with Aaron here in this situation, and you see that Green Bay has mismanaged him for much of his career. And another thing, Thomas, I think he said a lot of what the Green Bay fans have been saying for years and are now going to agree with him and support him as well, and not fault him for, you know, almost retiring or holding out or what would it have been, because yeah, they don't pursue people in free agency. He says, I can help you recruit if you would just let me. He's talked about, you know, wanting a first round receiver, that he looked at Justin Jefferson or Brandon Ayuk and knew these would be good fits to play with him. And Green Bay didn't even, you know, acknowledge it, listen to him, take it in for, you know, to take his word under consideration. And also, it sounds like they've done a really poor job of taking care of guys who have meant a lot to that team, that were part of their Super Bowl teams or some of their other great playoff runs with Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, and, you know, they weren't taken care of at the end of their time in Green Bay, or were, like Aaron said, lowballed on their deals. And as a veteran quarterback leader of the team, you see all your friends, your close teammates, and, you know, yourself a veteran getting mistreated by this team. And yeah, it's hard to come back and play for him. It's going to make for a really weird season now to see kind of what this plays out. And if he does get, you know, a release from the Packers, like they've kind of mentioned in some of these reports at the end of this season.
It's going to make for a weird year. It's going to make for a very awkward, you know, couple of moments. If I'm a front office guy, GM, you know, whatever, the part-time owner, I know that it's like a city-owned thing or a fan-owned experience, whatever it is up there in Green Bay. It's awkward to be by Aaron Rodgers. He seems locked in, though. He seems good to go, but he will most likely go elsewhere. You mentioned that at the end of this year. Let's put on our eight ball caps here and look into the future. Let's stare at our crystal ball. If you're Aaron Rodgers and you have your pick of teams at the end of this season, where would you go? Is it Denver? Is it somewhere else?
I mean, Denver makes sense for the reasons we talked about back when, you know, reports of a deal being very close to being done on draft day were mentioned, because it's closer to the West Coast where we know he's from. He's got his movie star girlfriend, wife. It's hard to keep track of their, you know, secretive relationship at what stage they're exactly in, but it puts him closer to, you know, LA and where he would want to be. We know Denver has a lot of talented skill players, has some, you know, good players on defense as well, where if they had a better quarterback, they might be, you know, that kind of piece away. And, you know, so Denver makes sense. I know we've heard Vegas, the Raiders maybe could be a place that would make sense. Again, kind of closer to the West Coast. Seems to have some things in place where, you know, definitely with Aaron Rodgers, you throw him into any situation and he might be the missing piece that they need to make a push for a Super Bowl. So those are some teams to keep in mind. It'd be interesting to see if the Packers limit whether or not he can be, join an NFC team or if it could only be an AFC team.
That Packers schedule is going to be brutal this year. We'll see how A-Rod holds out. We're out of time, Jake. I appreciate you coming on here in a pinch to talk about the crazy things happening in college football as well as Aaron Rodgers. Enjoy your evening, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. You too. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.